and welcome to Very Amusing, your one-stop shop for the stories, secrets, and shenanigans of a popcorn-fueled theme park journalist. I'm Carly Wiesel, and I don't know if having an Oscars viewing hangover is a real thing, but I think I have one. I think I, watched too much television last night. I'm recording this on Monday, so 2 days before you will hear it, but the day after the Oscars. Anyway, I just feel, so sleepy from what? From hanging out? From sitting on the ground and watching TV? I don't know. But I had a blast watching it. Also, did you know that Scott from Podcast The Ride worked on the Oscars? He was a segment producer or something? Very exciting for him. He made the intro, the substance thing, and then the cinema video bit. I don't know Hollywood terms, but anyway, very exciting. Yeah, the Oscars were great. I'm trying to think of what else is new in my life. So the main reason we are doing this episode today with some helpful handy tips for Disney Cruise Line is because I am going on a Disney Cruise Line sailing so soon. I'm kind of in the window of when I have to start packing and planning things. I just got home. I went out to coffee with a friend. I got a cardamom bun. Delicious. I think I've talked about those on my LA things to do episodes, but I just got a whole delivery of decorations and I'm going to bring on the cruise. It's happening. It's happening. I got to start doing laundry because we're going to pack and leave soon. I cannot wait, which is why I wanted to do this episode while it was fresh in my mind. Otherwise, everything else with me, it's pretty good. I'm wearing a head-to-toe outfit from one of our podcast sponsors. If you know them, they are the one that is the rental clothing company. I don't want to call them out by name in the episode in case they choose to not advertise with us anymore. You never know. But I love them, and I love wearing a little snakeskin skirt, a little black sweater. I feel I actually looked like a normal person in public when usually I just look like a tired, haggard lady. Though I do look a little haggard because I thought I didn't have to take my allergy meds this morning. And boy, did I. Boy, did I. It's bloomin' season. I know LA people joke it's award season. It's this season. It is almost jasmine season because I have seen so many bees in the past week. Things are pollinating, things are happening. And I thought I was better than Allegra. Who am I? Who am I to think that I don't need to take my meds? But I took them. They should kick in shortly. This episode should have minimal sniffling. And if it does, take it up with Jeff. No, take it up with me. It's my fault. Jeff could never do anything wrong. But anyway, I'm excited to give you this because this is basically the hit list of stuff that I would tell my friends who are planning a Disney cruise trip. And because you are my friends, there you go. You got all of these tips, especially while they're fresh in my brain because I did some of these things wrong. I did some of them wrong. We will probably talk about it both in this and in a future trip recap episode. But regardless, enjoy, enjoy, enjoy. And if you do not have a Disney cruise vacation planned, take a listen to this and maybe it'll plant a little seed on why you should maybe go on one of the best Disney trips you'll ever go on in your entire life. Okay, stick around. We'll be back soon. And maybe you'll hear an ad from our snakeskin skirt sponsors. Okay, be right back. Love you, bye. Welcome back to our Disney Cruise Line Tips and Tricks episode. Now, essentially, the way this is going to go is that I'm going to tell you everything that I wish someone would yell at me while I was booking a Disney Cruise Line trip. Because, again, I've been on Cruise Line many times. I don't want to brag, but I got status. And yet, while going on this sailing in March out of a different port, it's just kind of made my brain mush to the point where there's so many things that I always forget about. And I was like, oh, right, that. Oh, I gotta book that. And just things that I wish lived in one place on the podcast feed so that you could just listen and play if you're thinking about or are about to go on a Disney Cruise Line sailing. And if you listen to this podcast, you are likely very familiar with the idiosyncrasies that come with planning and booking a Disney World trip. But for some reason, and I still don't really know what it is it ocean? Anyway, there's something about Disney Cruise Line where there's an informational gap, a disconnect between the actual trips and being on land. There's little things that happen on the trip that I'll write down notes for that I won't even remember weeks later when I'm back home. There's this informational gap. I think that's the best way to phrase it. That really, there's stuff that you want to know about that it's easier to forget about it when you're off the ship than when you were on the ship. Not the same way at Disney World or Disneyland, but something about Disney Cruise Line, I'm always taking meticulous notes because I know that information might not carry over from the water to my home. So that's why we're here, to make sure that you don't fail as badly as I did with so many things in planning the cruise I'm about to go on. Because again, I know a lot about Disney Cruise Line, and I still just tripped and fell flat on my face multiple times in this process. So it's my job and my responsibility to make sure you never, ever do that. So this week, that's what we're going to get into. And we're going to start with my number one bit of advice, which is to mind the booking windows. Mind the booking windows. I have straight up bungled a lot of this sailing that I just booked. I've booked cruises myself. I've worked with travel agents before. Like, I've done it, duh. But something about this one, I have just had more going on in my life. It's out of a port I haven't been to before. And I have dropped the ball on so many occasions for this sailing that it's kind of become a punchline of the trip. So I feel like in this current mental state, I have to make sure none of you make the same mistakes that I made. Now, I goofed each and every booking window. Oh yeah, girl, I goofed all of them. And things are different depending on what you're doing, depending on your sailing, depending on your Castaway Club status, which you can earn by sailing with Disney Cruise Line more frequently. Basically, I have Castaway status and I still messed all of this up. But excursions and activities can only be booked once you pay for your sailing in full. That's something I knew and forgot about. So keep that in mind. You want to make sure you are paid completely in full before you can book excursions and activities. And you want to book those as soon as possible because they can and will fill up. And sometimes if you have status like I do, the point at which you can book them is before your money is actually due. So you'll probably have to pay earlier than you anticipated. But besides that, there are two main booking things I want to talk to you about. The first one is online cruise check-in. Now, you essentially will check in for your cruise, and when you do, it will determine when you can arrive at the cruise port. Generally, you want to get there earlier, you want to check in earlier so you can be on the ship earlier and begin your vacation. Because if you're paying for a cruise, you want an extra hour, 90 minutes, you want that extra time that you paid for on the cruise ship. But the online cruise check-in, which opens typically at midnight Eastern time on the day that it opens. So if it opens on like Monday the 1st, midnight Monday the 1st is when it opens. But it's not just log on, book some things, get off. Like, it's not a two-step process. It is a pain in the tush to fill out. You will need photos of your family that are security photos. It has to be clear. They can't have hats on. They have to be wearing, and I'm going to explain this, it's going to sound weird. They have to be wearing clothes. And you might be like, why would I send naked photos of my family? That's not what I mean. You're taking it kind of like collarbone up. So if someone's wearing like a tank top, or if someone is a child and you're just like taking a little photo of their head. I mean, like my baby, like I literally submitted for a cruise once before a photo of a baby and they were like, no, she has to wear clothes. And I'm like, she's a baby. It's like her chin up, but it will get flagged and you'll have to resubmit it. But you have to have these photos ready to upload and taking them and cropping them and making sure they're small enough. That can take time. And that is something you will want to do in advance. Because if you're doing this at midnight, like I have, I admittedly did this one at midnight my own time because I forgot about it again. I forgot about every booking window. I don't know how I goofed it so bad, but you will not because we're talking about it now. I did it way too late and I was like, oh, I got to do this before bed. I totally forgot. And it took me like 20, 25 minutes. So make sure you set aside time. You are prepared to lock in and to fill this out because you cannot select your arrival time until you pass every screen and complete every single thing for your whole family. Everyone's photos, everyone's details, all of it. So just make sure because that will determine how early you can arrive at the cruise port. The second thing I want to stress that you mind the booking window for is princess gathering. Ooh, princess gathering burned me real bad on the cruise I'm about to do. Princess gathering is a free scheduled meet and greet with a bunch of princesses on your cruise. You basically go down the line. It's usually, in my experience, it's been four different princesses, but you'll be in the atrium of the ship, in the grand hall, in the lobby, and you go boom, 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 boom. I mean, all of mine have been in the grand hall lobby. I'm sure there's maybe a cruise who does it on like a second level. I don't know, but I just want to couch it. Every time it's been all in the lobby. But it's this beautiful moment where you go from princess to princess to princess, and you have a scheduled time, and you show up, and it's fast, and it's seamless, and it's really efficient, and it's magical. And it's free, which is even better, but you have to book it in advance. And if you are late to book it, you will not get it. And that's coming from someone who, oh yeah, you bet, missed out on Princess Gathering. Did I send 8 emails scheduled to remind me to book this on a travel day home from Disney World? Sure did. Sure did. Saw all of them. Still didn't book it. Was on a plane. Whoops. Completely forgot about everything. This will open 30 days prior to your sailing. Again, I believe this one is also at midnight Eastern Standard Time on the day 30 days prior. I flew back from Disney World. I had Pearl. I was exhausted. I was eating chicken tenders. Like, I just didn't. I didn't remember to do it, and I missed it. And it's a bummer, not because Pearl's, like, obsessed with princesses and wants to meet them, but it's a bummer because it's a free activity, and it's a really great one that you just have to remember to book. But the real reason I wanted to book it is because if you have kids and you are going on a Disney Cruise Line sailing, there is a, I think, a somewhat high probability that you will walk past this and go, oh, princess meet and greet. And you will walk up and they will say, this is actually a scheduled event. And to have to be turned away from a character meet, which will not happen otherwise, unless the character's time allotted is ending, you know, when they're like, oh, we are now bringing out Donald Duck instead. Like, to walk up to a character meet and not be able to meet the character feels bad. And that's a hard thing to explain to a kid. And I wouldn't want to see that in the atrium and be like, oh no, there's an exclusive thing right in front of me that I can't do. Now, you can always talk to a cast member. There are multiple princess gatherings on cruises. You can try to get into a future one. I will be trying to get on one the same way when I go. I'll talk about that in a second. But just keep in mind, Princess Gathering is something you have to book in advance. It's not the same way for other meet and greets. It is exclusively this one. But I want to say, my next point is that you should not lose hope if you don't get what you want, because things are not permanent at the booking stage. I'll give you an example. When I booked this cruise, again, you're about to learn how badly I messed up this cruise. I did everything wrong. Do as I say, not as I do, essentially. So on this cruise, this is more of like a family cruise. I'm going for Pearl's birthday. It's myself, my husband, and Pearl. And when the booking window opened for Paolo, the adult-only dining on the ship, I was like, do you want to go to Paolo? Like, I really love it there, but I don't know if we want to eat every dinner with Pearl because it's her birthday, etc. And my husband and I were like, you know what? We'll forego Paolo. We'll do the regular dining all nights with Pearl. Bing, bang, boom. A couple weeks later, I was like, wait, no, I want to go to Paolo. I'm going to be on the ship. I'm going to be on a Disney Cruise Line ship. I want to go to Paolo. And I went to book it, and it was all gone. And it was still early. Like, it was still early in the booking journey. And I have, you know, I have Castaway Club. Like, I was on top of it. I was there the day I could have booked it. And I didn't realize it was a grab the reservation and hold on to it. You could always cancel it type of situation. I thought it was because you're only allowed to book one. I thought like, oh, maybe there'll be something later. And I was a fool. I should have grabbed one and then decided later. Now, you can always make things happen when you're on board. But I have had the great luck of actually being able to fix this problem from the ground from my house. Because 2 weeks before my cruise, I've been checking here and there. I've been trying to see if there's anything opens up. You won't get an alert. You have to like go in and check. I've been checking and I haven't found anything. And I went exactly 2 weeks before my sailing. I don't know if that means anything. Just keep a little note in your head. 2 weeks before my sailing, I found multiple Paolo reservations that were now open. There were not any brunch ones open. That is usually the hot ticket, the one that people want. However, I had my choice of times. I had multiple times that I could choose from to be able to dine at Paolo. And I'm able to go on this cruise. I booked nursery hours. It was somehow available at the same time. Magic happened for me. So just make sure to check back if you don't get what you want. Same thing with your reserved dining time. There are two dinner seatings, early and late. And the time can shift a little bit, but it's usually like it's before 6 and around 8. That's kind of like the vague way I'll say it. We got the late dining. I always choose late dining when I'm sailing out of Florida, but this cruise, whoops, duh. I'm sailing on my regular time zone. And I needed early dining because my kid will be asleep for the late one. I fully goofed on it. I waitlisted my dining choice. And my travel agent called in. I wrote in like we were just kind of waiting. It's just a waiting game to see when you can get moved off the waitlist. And about 3 weeks before my cruise, I was officially moved to the dining that I needed. I was stressed about it, obviously, but things can happen leading up to your cruise. You just have to check back. You just have to put the right things in place to make sure that can happen. And you can even take care of this stuff once you get on board. You can find out if there's more Paolo reservations, if you can book a second Paolo because they limit you to one. You could check in person and talk to them about moving. If you had a situation like we did, that was our plan, was once we got on board to be like, our kid will be asleep, we need an earlier one, and hopefully they can move you. But even with Princess Gathering, you can try to grab it day of, which is exactly what I am trying to do. You check the Disney Cruise Line Navigator app. There might be availability added that first day, which I will be doing and I will report back. But remember, it's not a lost cause. Do not lose hope if you do not get what you want. There is possibly still a way to do it. Now, speaking of Paulo, there is something we got to talk about. And that is that the best food on your Disney Cruise Line sailing is only available randomly. Randomly! And I'm not talking about Paulo. No, I'm not talking about Enchanté even. I'm not even talking about the delicious chicken tenders that are served on Disney Cruise Line. There is so much unbelievable food on this ship, but I'm talking about one in particular, and that is the Churro Mickey Waffle. You may be familiar with this from Walt Disney World. To me, this is like, for some reason in my brain, this is categorized as a Disney Cruise Line food, but they are extraordinary, and they just appear randomly at the buffet restaurant on board your ship. Whether it's Cabana's or Marceline's Market, you want to be peeking in and checking to see if they have them because they are unbelievably good. A churro and a Mickey waffle had a baby, and that baby is beautiful and delicious. Now, as the lore goes, they're often served on a sea day. So when you're at sea, that's when they'll appear. But not all sailings have sea days, and nothing is official. Because again, these just pop out like one of those freaky things in an HHN boo hole. You know what I mean? Just like bloop. They just show up and you're like, oh, it's here. It's here. It's magic. So check out the buffet. Keep your eyes peeled. And if you are me, talk to the wait staff, because that's what I'm going to do this time to make sure I don't miss them, because my sailing doesn't have an at-sea day, and I feel like it's usually going to be in the last day, like last full day, but you never know. It might, you never know. You never know, and I cannot miss them because they are so good. They are so good. Changing gears from delicious, yummy, yummy food. I mean, I do usually eat all of the ice cream on board, but God, those churro waffles are insane. I want to talk about more of a booking reminder, and that is that your room location does actually kind of matter. Now, if you have a mobility concern, you want to be near an elevator, or you want to be near a pool deck, or maybe you want to be near the stairs so you don't have to walk down long hallways, that totally makes sense. But usually when I book a Disney cruise, I'm focused on room type, not room location. And on this past trip, I booked a specific room for a kind of unexpected reason. Now, I typically cruise out of Florida. I'm about to embark on my first ever Disney cruise out of San Diego, which is something I am not used to. Disney only sails out of there for a little short window during the year. And apparently, the water and current can be different than the Disney Cruise Line sailings I've been on. Now, I booked through my travel agent at MEI Mouse Fan Travel, who was so helpful with this cruise. And I want to assure you, I paid for this. This isn't like an ad thing. I paid for this. I work with them for real, for like the trips I pay for out of pocket. They're very helpful. But I worked with my travel agent because the weather in San Diego and the water and currents, like these are things I don't typically plan for on my vacations, and something they really accurately could chime in on and help me with. Now, apparently, West Coast cruises can be rougher because there aren't as many islands near the coast that break up the waves. I would have never known this. So because of that, it was really important to me to have a room, both the floor and the location, that would mitigate that as much as possible. Because I'm going on this cruise with my husband, who does not love to cruise. So if this cruise goes badly, it ruins all future cruising opportunity. But if it goes well, then I may be able to get him on a plane to Florida to go on a new ship. So a lot is riding on this. Really, like, I really gotta make sure my boy is not seasick while on this Disney Wonder sailing. It was really important to me to make sure we had a room that would aid me in that mission to brainwash him and lie to loving Disney Cruise Line. So because you can feel the waves more in the aft or the forward, which is the ends of the ship, and you can feel them less midship, we wound up booking a midship room because of that specifically. And because we booked a little late and there wasn't a lot of availability, we actually were looking into booking a smaller room in that preferred area instead of a larger room further out on either end of the ship. So stuff like this is a reason why I think travel agents for booking cruises are especially helpful, because it's a knowledge that's very specific that it's kind of hard to know otherwise and kind of hard to Google about and be told specifically. Because while the vessels remain the same, the locations and the ports are different, and there's really not as much knowledge coming out of somewhere like San Diego or something that's not as often frequented by Disney Cruise Line as the main ports. So I do recommend And to recommend booking with a travel agent, I'm just going to say. And also make sure if you have someone who's sensitive to motion to book accordingly to that. And again, I never thought room location mattered. I thought it was just comparing room to room, room type to room type. And I'm so glad I checked with my travel agent to make sure that we were set in a location that works best for us. Now we are going to take a very quick break and we are going to be back with so much more advice about stuff to pack that nobody's going to tell you about a transportation tip that I wish I knew before my last sailing, and more dumb stuff I've done before this trip. I really bungled a lot of it, guys. I bungled a lot of it, but I'm here. I got it all sorted before we went, and you are about to learn from my gravest mistakes. Stick around. We will be right back. If you've listened to any word I've said on this podcast in the past few weeks, you know that I am stressed out about shopping. We basically did a full episode about it. But you know who is solving that problem for me? You know who is solving that problem? Quince. Quince is making shopping so easy, so convenient, and really rectifying what a lot of other retailers are doing, where you order a lot of stuff and you try it on and it's not good. With Quince, everything you try on is going to be a hit. I mean, who doesn't love the good things in life? Even though I do enjoy a little luxury, but not so much the price tag, I am able to have the best of both worlds with Quince, because Quince is my go-to for luxury essentials at affordable prices. Quince offers a range of high-quality items at prices within reach, like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters from $50, what a sentence, washable silk tops and dresses, organic cotton sweaters, and 14-karat gold jewelry. A fantastic reminder, because everyone's wearing all those little necklaces, like multiple chains. I don't know who, like, explained to them how to get different lengths, but I'm going on Quince, and that's the next thing I'm going to buy on Quince, is that I'm going to get more gold jewelry, because I need to balance my bean necklace out. Thank you, Quince. Thank you. I forgot about that. And the best part is, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. They also only work with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that. But you know what else I love? The unitard I got from Quince. Okay, I have been talking about this nonstop. The unitard I bought from Quince. It is like exercise leggings connected to an exercise tank top. It has a built-in shelf bra, and it has this seaming that makes you feel like really aerodynamic when you're doing fitness stuff. I love it because I wear it under a big sweater. I feel like I'm hiding a little secret that, oh, I'm not wearing layers. I'm wearing one garment. It is fantastic. I put it on and strut it around the house when I first bought it, and I wear it kind of every 5 or 6 days. Again, everything I've bought from Quince has been an essential that will keep me going month after month, year after year, because their stuff is really great and really high quality. Quality and so well priced. So give yourself the luxury you deserve with Quince. Go to quince.com/amusing for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's an entire year to decide if you want to keep it. That's amazing. That's quince.com, quince.com/amusing to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/amusing. And check out the unitard. It's so good. We are so back because we are back with Armoire, which makes getting dressed easy. A clothing rental membership from Armoire lets you build the perfect wardrobe with brands that are high quality, unique, and recommended just for you. And when you're ready for new clothes, just swap them out for more new-to-you styles. All you have to do is take a 5-minute style quiz and select items from your dynamic, personalized closet that show up at your door in as little as 2 days. But honestly, I love to browse on Armoire because looking through the pants and skirts and jackets and blazers is kind of like guilt-free shopping. Really, if you're anything like me, a busy mom who travels a lot and has an unnatural attachment and love for her clothes, filling in the gaps in your wardrobe that you need to fill can be so challenging. It's just so much pressure to buy something, wear it once, realize it really doesn't work for you, and then feel the weight of guilt over contributing to waste or having it just sit in your closet for years and years and years until that pressure just kind of dissipates and it's just an object you're used to seeing. Or feeling bad about the fact that you spent money you could have spent on something else, like Armoire, and instead spent it on this thing you no longer want. My closet became such a place of stress and uncertainty in the different stages of my pregnancy and postpartum life. And giving new styles and silhouettes a test run, and looking great while doing it, makes Armoire an absolute must when it comes to finding or redefining your personal style. I just placed my Armor order and I'm so excited. I got this chic Reese tailored blazer that fully makes me look like a rich lawyer who's ordering a martini. And then I also got this pair of Farm Rio orange pants that I am so stoked about. They're like a bright orange. I cannot wait to wear them. I even got a minimal chic little plain black sweater from French Connection. They have everything. And let me tell you, if you want to try something new, whether it's a new style, a new pant length, or even a new color, they simply have got it. Right now, my listeners can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month. That's up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/amusing. That's armoire.style, armoire.style/amusing to get up to 50% off your first month and never worry about what to wear again. That's armoire.style/amusing. Welcome back. Now we're going to do a little bit of packing advice because there are three things you will want to pack that you will probably not pack and then be really mad at yourself for not packing. Those items are a water bottle, a bottle for soda if you're a soda person, and collapsible tote bags. Now this sounds real straightforward, but as someone who regularly forgets one of these three, I just want to emphasize it. And no, it's not the stuff you'd think I'd say. It's not seasickness medicine. They'll give that, by the way, they will give that to you for free at Guest Services if you need it. My mom gets it every time and swears by it. Huge tip from Audrey. Thank you, Mom. I also used to demand that you have a lanyard. I bought a special lanyard at D23 Expo one year. It's a little Epcot one, and I used it on my cruises, and I was like, man, this is my lanyard. But depending on your situation, that's kind of gone by the wayside now that magic bands can be used on board and work really well on board. Like, I love using it to open my door on the cruise line. I don't have to carry on the card. It's just so convenient. By the way, if you go to Disney World and the expense of buying them isn't too much, it is really helpful to have it on cruise line. Like, I find that I use my magic band as much, if not more, on cruise line than I do in the parks. Granted, I never wear it to Disneyland, but alas. Now, the first of the three is water. If you listened to my recap of our Disney Treasure sailing, you know that, oh no, not Disney Treasure. It was the Disney Magic. Wow, I go on a lot of cruise ships. My Disney Magic sailing, I got a whole bunch of water that I purchased and had delivered to the room waiting for me when I got there. I believe I spent about $35 on a package of water bottles, which was, I think, kind of a lot of money to spend on water. I did that for a specific reason. I wanted to make sure we had it easily accessible. It was a hot trip. I had a kid with me, etc. But now on the sailing I'm going on, I am just making sure I'm bringing water bottles for everyone and we can refill them. Now you can get carafes of water delivered to your room with room service. You can actually drink the water out of the sink on Disney Cruise Line, which does not make sense to me. I don't know why you, I feel like you shouldn't be able to. I feel like in my brain, it's like an airline bathroom where you're like, don't drink the water. It's non-potable or whatever that's called. That's what I always think is true, but no, it's actually filtered and you can drink it. However, I don't know. My brain makes me feel like I can't. There is a soda and water station on the ship that is easy to fill up at. And I just am going to make sure that I have a water bottle on me at all time. And really, it's not all about the room. It's also because when you're out and about, it can be tricky to remember to drink water. It's not as easy to find a water fountain as you would think. And on really hot trips, especially island cruises, you're gonna wanna stay as hydrated as possible if you're going to be in the sun. Just a reminder, just bring whatever you can to keep water in you. You'll wanna keep drinking it throughout the day. Now, same with soda. You don't want the same vessel for your soda and your water. That's horrible. You don't want your water to taste like liquidy Diet Coke? No, no, no. But soda on the ships at the fountains is free. And so it's a really great idea to bring a mug or a tumbler or Stanley, like something you can use to fill up with soda. And every time I fly to a cruise, I'm not joking, every time I think, oh, I should bring that thing to put soda in. And I go, oh, I just don't have the room. My suitcase is so heavy already. And every time I regret it. I would love to walk around with a big old jug of Diet Coke. And that is exactly what I'm doing on my San Diego cruise. I'm going to the Disney Wonder and I'm going to be drinking so much Diet Coke, you would not believe how much liquid I can fit in my body. So if you are a big soda drinker, make sure to bring that with you. And last but not least, pack extra bags. I'm talking collapsible totes. I swear by Bagu tote bags. I'm talking like a packable duffel that you bring on big trips when you have souvenirs, because your luggage situation will not be the same on the way in as it is on the way out. And I'm not talking like you pack meticulously before your trip and then the night before you're like, rah, tossing stuff in. That's not even what I'm talking about. So the way luggage works on Disney Cruise Line is that when you disembark the ship, when like, oh no, sad, vacation's over, time to go home, you don't pack up your stuff the morning of or like right before and then just head out. No, you package up your suitcase and you leave it out in front of your room the night before you disembark. And they take your bags in the middle of the night, which means that at nighttime, depending on when you go to sleep or what your routine is, you very likely will be without a lot of your belongings. So there's stuff that you will need for that night and that morning that you will have to hand carry off the ship. Now, if you're a minimalist and this does not affect you, must be a nice life. I will never know. I will never know what that is. Because if you are a person like me who requires an entire sack of makeup, hair goop, a whole nighttime setup of stuff like earplugs and eye masks and jammies and a sweatshirt in case you get cold and a whole to-do, you're going to be lugging something off the ship, even if you put a bag through. And I'll typically put something through. I'll put like my big suitcase, but it doesn't have everything in it. It has like dirty laundry and stuff I needed for island days in the sun, things like that. But you can bring anything off the ship you want the next morning. You can bring any bags, anything. It's just that it's really annoying. That's basically the line. Also, if you just heard a tiny voice say, Mama, that was Pearl. I did not realize she was outside my door. She's being taken care of right now. I'm not in charge of watching her because I'm working, but I didn't know she was her. A little surprise. She did not nap very long. Well, it'll be an interesting afternoon. Anyway, back to Disney Cruise Line. So you can bring all of your stuff with you. The issue is that the elevators are jammed on the morning you get off the ship. So having big luggage and stuff you can't carry can be tricky. Hence, those collapsible bags that I just told you about. Last time, I put my suitcase through, but because I was traveling with Pearl, I had her pack and play. I had her stroller. I had her essentials. So for my own belongings, I needed those tote bags and that duffel bag to be able to carry things by hand so everything wasn't just loose. And you can leave your bags outside the restaurant when you're going to breakfast on the final morning, but it's just easier to have extra places to throw stuff in and to repack your suitcase at your next destination or at the airport if that's where you are headed. And I say this as someone who has cruised a lot in and outside America, with and without a child. Having those extra bags that just take up little to no room, weigh practically nothing, they come in handy at this one moment so much. They are so helpful. And then you just fold them up, you put everything back away, and it's like it never happened. And people will tell you to bring other stuff. They'll tell you to bring closet organizers and shoe things that you roll the off, hang the clothes, and you roll the outfits in, and then you put them in by day, and then you hang them on the back. They'll tell you to bring metallic hooks for all your items or whatever. And granted, the most people I've ever had in a room is three. And I don't have a larger family, and Pearl is still, her clothes are still tiny. But I've never really felt like I didn't have storage space in a Disney Cruise Line room. I felt like there's always somewhere to put stuff. The rooms feel roomy. What can I say? But the only time I've ever needed something badly has been the day you get off the ship, and the thing I needed was an extra bag to toss stuff in. Now, another thing I care about passionately is cruise transportation, because I believe you want to overplan your transportation. It's kind of the last thing you might think of for a Disney Cruise Line sailing, because your trip is literally a mode of transportation. Like you're getting on ship. That is, you know what I mean? It's like the boat. Like you don't worry about how to get to the boat. You worry about the boat. But make sure you have a plan. Look up Reddit threads, message boards, guest discussions online, because there's kind of stuff that pops up that you might not expect to encounter and will. I mean, let me just compare trips to you. My sailing on the Disney Magic out of that Fort Lauderdale, Miami port was flawless. If you remember me talking about it, we drove up, we parked, and I could see the ship from the parking garage. It was incredible, but that is not always the case. Guess what? Your girl messed up something else on the San Diego cruise. Because I was like, oh, we pulled right up to Miami. It should be no problem. San Diego, we beep, beep, boop, park, get out, go, yay. No. San Diego, a port I have never sailed out of, has no parking. Not even like, oh, it's really expensive at the port. No, there is no official parking. You have to use these random third-party companies and these websites that have not been updated in 20 years. And everyone says they're fine, but like, I'm paying to valet at an intercontinental hotel that I'm not staying at. And if I don't print out the actual parking pass, they won't let me park there. It's very weird. It is not seamless. And I was not expecting this to be a thing that I'd be navigating. So make sure whatever you do, you are looking it up. Because also, this applies to like regular Disney Cruise Line ports, even Port Canaveral by bus. And sometimes the information can be good and sometimes it can be bad. Because if you take Disney Cruise Line transportation from Walt Disney World to Port Canaveral, it's something they offer. You can get picked up at a Disney World hotel, you can get bused to the port, and you can get bused back to a Disney World hotel. Even if you take a bus, I believe you get earlier check-in for Disney Cruise Line arrivals. I don't know if it's for certain for everything, but typically from what I hear is that if you book that Disney bus, you will have a better arrival time. You don't have to worry about the whole check-in situation and your luggage will be handled for you. It's just makes it a little easier. But on the way back, that was not my experience on my most recent sailing. The Disney buses, by the way, are full Disney's Magical Express experience. Like, they have the videos, they play. Like, it's very retro. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you're like, what do you mean a videos of playing on a bus? And if you know, you're like, oh my God, they have the videos on the bus! It's pretty cool. I don't know. I kind of like it. But the buses that I took most recently back to Walt Disney World from Port Canaveral were not rolling. They weren't like the ones to the airport where once they fill up, bing, bang, boom, they are out of there. They waited until everyone was there. And we waited so long. Pro tip, don't plan a table service restaurant dining reservation at Disney World that morning because you might not make it. And we did not. We waited and waited and waited. And we were one of the last people off the ship, we thought, because we were leaving when the restaurant was closing. And yet, we waited so long. Oh, I just want to make sure you know, I didn't like keep, the people on the bus weren't waiting for us. We were on the bus when it was like half empty. There were a lot of people that came after us, but it took forever. It took forever. So if you're trying to squeeze in a park day before you go, you're trying to like get a lot done your last day in Florida, if that's what that is, just research your options in advance for this and for any type of Disney Cruise Line cruise, just so you know you are doing everything correctly. And so you don't have to buy last minute parking like I did. Again, I cannot say enough good stuff about the Fort Lauderdale sailing experience. I'm truly so excited for the Disney Destiny to sail out of there. It's gonna be great. Another thing I will recommend is that you read the banned items list for Disney Cruise Line. Oh, you think you're better than the banned items list? You travel a lot, you think you don't have to check it? I sure did, and I've been burned by it multiple times. Multiple times! I packed a travel steamer on the Disney Wish. Nope. They held it as contraband until the end of the cruise. I bought balloons for Pearl's birthday for the Disney Wonder and oops, they're not allowed. Even though every TikTok that I looked at for decorating cruise cabins for birthdays had balloons, I didn't realize Disney Cruise Line is seemingly the only one who bans it. Another, again, see what I'm saying? Like I did so much done stuff. They take security very, very seriously to the point where they once confiscated my microphone stand because it looked questionable. So just make sure that you are following the rules, especially if you are traveling with a child or a baby. There's a lot of baby stuff that they do not allow. Make sure you go back to our Disney Cruise Line episode about taking a Disney cruise with a baby or toddler, and that covers all of the equipment and what you can do to make sure you have what you need when you get on board. Alcohol is not a banned item. There are certain protocols for bringing wine and beer on board, but when it comes to that and everything else, just give it a glance. They don't even let you bring musical instruments. If you're one of those like airport banjo dudes, good luck. It's not happening. And also pack wrinkle release spray because my mom bought it for me when I couldn't have my steamer and now I always pack it and I'm always ready to go. The laundry room has an iron, but a lot of my stuff needs to be steamed. It can't be like I iron it, it just doesn't look right. I think you know what I mean. Like I iron it, it's like, it's too crisp. I need the steam. And I don't know how to use an iron, okay? I'm a steamer girl. That's it. Now, last but not least, and this is a doozy. Make sure before you go on a Disney Cruise Line sailing, you know about the secret stuff. Now, I already told you about the Princess Gathering, which is essentially a secret in the know princess meet and greet that if you're not warned about, you can very easily miss out on. But did you know there's low-key a paid character meal on board? On the Magic Wonder Dream and Fantasy, it's called Royal Court Royalty. Why is it like a tongue twister? Royal Court Royalty. And it's essentially a high tea for children with Disney characters. Like we had at Grand Floridian before they took away everything sacred to us. It is for kids 3 to 12, for them and their parents, and they have a similar experience on the other ships. On the Treasure, it's an adventure tea, and on the Wish, it's Olaf's Royal Picnic. And basically, it's an interactive character meal. Kids get a bunch of gifts. It seems very rad, but also easy to miss if you're not really paying attention to what's being offered on your sailing. Also easy to miss on Disney Cruise Line is visiting the kids' clubs when you're not a kid. It's called open house hours, and it's essentially special times of the day when anyone can go into the kids' spaces. Anyone can fling themselves down the Slinky Dog slide if they wish. But no one will really explicitly tell you that's what it is unless you already know or you go seeking it out. Check the schedule once you're on board. They're always in open house when the ship is first loading people in and starting to disembark, but can all starting to embark, not disembark, starting to embark. Well, you're disembarking the land, and then you're just, oh, I'm getting seasick in my head. When the first day of the ship, yeah, I haven't talked about ships for too long. But you can also have these open house hours when you are in port. It's just a really great way to see spaces of the ship that you can't really see otherwise, because when it's kids' time, there are kids in there, and you cannot go in. Now, there's obviously the Rainforest Room, which many of you know about as the relaxing getaway at the spa. But something someone won't warn you about. Changing gears here, is how long onboarding at the nursery takes. Oh my God, it took us like a full 20, 25 minutes to fill out these forms and like get Pearl approved for the 30 minutes she spent at the nursery. And then we had to wait behind someone else who was going first. And because it was kind of like a, not like a HIPAA situation, but it was like a secret thing, we had to like wait outside. It took so long. So keep that in mind, especially if you have a young kid who's going to the nursery. You can tackle that once you're on board, but it's not a quick thing at that age because they have to go over, like, can they eat food at all? What food can they eat? Can they eat this snack? Can we give them bananas? Stuff like that. And it takes longer than you would expect. But you also want to visit there earlier if possible, because if you want to book more than the allotted maximum hours at the nursery on your sailing, if they have more availability, you can book those once you get on board. Also, a tip. When you are checking in for your cruise, when you arrive, you got your stuff, you're like, yeah, we're doing it. Ask about if there are any upgrades, because you can get an upgraded room for a lower cost than booking it directly if there is availability. When you are on board, be sure to arrive early instead of on time for character meets. This is kind of my go-to situation, but if the time posted is 3:15, I will try to get there between 3:05 and 3:10, because you're going to wait a little for the character anyway, but this way you will definitely get in. If it is a themed cruise, it is a rare character, it's a day at sea, it's someone you really got to meet and they're only really there once or twice maybe, make sure you get there even earlier than that. Again, I used to report on sample sales, and the way you got to do it is that you want to wait before, you don't want to wait after. You don't want to wait once everyone is in line, because it will always take longer. Wait on the front end, get there early, and that way you are definitely guaranteed to see the character that you want. The best bars on Disney Cruise Line? Listen, somebody's not going to agree with me, and I don't mind. The best bars are always the ones that are closest in proximity to Paulo. I'm talking about the Meridian on the Dream and Fantasy and the Rose on the Treasure and the Wish. Those are the best bars. I have the best drinks at those locations. That is what I want. If I'm on vacation, I'm getting a classy drink. I want to be at those bars, and those are the ones I swear by. I'm sorry. Those are the ones I swear by. A tip in case you are not up to date on post-pandemic things. They don't do the official Castaway 5K. They don't do it at Castaway anymore. It's on your own. There's no official race. You don't like all wake up and race together. The Castaway Key 5K is on your own? Bogus. Sob. I don't like it. I was going to do it and they stopped it. I wanted to do it last time. I never got to do it with like the real setup. I mean, it's like cool that they still do it on your own, but like, no, I'm not going to motivate myself to get off the ship to run. Not unless other people are doing it. Ugh. If you are on a longer sailing, sorry, I'll put my emotional response behind me. If you're on a longer sailing, do not forget that the Cove Cafe has a punch card. So if you're like, yeah, I want to be having cappuccinos every day, start on day one, get that punch card, baby. You can possibly earn a free drink if you're on the ship long enough, or if you're more caffeinated than you maybe should be on like a 3-day cruise. I think it's 5 drinks or 7 drinks. I'm forgetting how many it is, but I've never filled one up, and one of these days I will. The final night, there is a character experience, like a goodbye moment that you should never, ever miss. Even if you're like in the throes of packing, make sure to attend it. It is always magical. It is jam-packed with characters, and it is so much fun. Also, when you go back to your room, make sure to order room service before they cut it off. I think they cut ours off at like 1 a.m., 2 a.m. I'm blanking on what the time was. It was like late at night, but it was incredible to be able to order chicken tenders while packing and have a last moment of, the cruise is over, but I'm still enjoying a bit. You can also get Mickey bars for room service, and it's so fun to be able to have a Mickey bar in your room. Mickey bar in your room. And last but not least, my favorite time to go on the water slides is when you are in port, because there will not be as much of a wait. Even if that means going a little late to Castaway Key, coming back early from Nassau, wherever you are, that's kind of the best way to tackle those and not have to spend your at-sea time or your ship time just standing around waiting in a line. I hope this has inspired you to not only go on Disney Cruise Line, not only sail with them, but to do it more easily than I usually do, because I really bungled this one, y'all. I bungled it. I made so many mistakes. I can't believe I didn't look up parking. What was that? I missed Princess Gathering. But I promise, after this episode, you and I, we will both never, ever make these horrible mistakes again. If you have any Disney Cruise Line questions about any of the ships, call into 747 Churros. And if you're not sure about if you should take the plunge, literally, I want to tell you, Disney Cruise Line, I think, offers an incredible mix of Disney and vacation. Walt Disney World, you know, it's basically my favorite place on earth. I love it so much, but it is not a relaxing vacation. Disney Cruise Line actually feels like vacation and is the Disney experience. And if you compare a Disney World and Disney Cruise Line vacation, whoo, you're getting literally the best of both worlds. You get to do it all. I love all the ships. They are different, but they are glorious. I will report back in a few weeks about my trip on the Disney Wonder. I'm very excited to go to new ports, have new experiences. I can't wait. And if you have anything you want to know about Disney Cruise Line, opinion or like procedure based, or like what room should I book, or really should I believe you, should I go on Disney Cruise Line? Yes, you should. It's amazing. It's so much fun. I love it so much. I've like really embraced my love of Disney Cruise Line, and with so many new ships and so many things going on, I just think it offers a jam-packed Disney vacation that actually lets you vacation. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed, and stay tuned for more. We're talking about cake in Churro Skulls this week. Ooh, cake. Okay, talk to you soon. Bye.
Hi, Carly. I am taking my soon-to-be 4-year-old to Walt Disney World for her birthday, and I got her all set up with a chocolate cake to be delivered to the restaurant, you know, the standard one that's like chocolate and looks like Mickey Mouse and $39. And then my daughter went to a birthday party at a friend's, and that mom had a rainbow cake. Now my daughter is obsessed with rainbow cake, and I have no idea where to find a rainbow cake Walt Disney World property. Can you please help me? Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Hi. Okay. First things first, happy birthday to your child. Second thing second, oh my God, aren't kids so funny? Kids are like, I want that. And it's like, you don't even know how much work we've put into getting you the other cake. We pre-ordered a cake and made a dining reservation and all this stuff. So I get it, and I will help you through this. And I kind of have a bit of a piecemeal solution, but I want to make sure I give you kind of the best foot forward into getting this fixed, because I don't quite have enough information to like fully check this out. I'm not sure what restaurant you're going to. I'm not sure if you want to do the rainbow cake instead of this cake. I'm also a little confused. Is the rainbow the inside, like it's layered red, orange, yellow, green, blue, or is it a rainbow design on the top? But either way, I am going to help you solve this. Now, according to Plan Disney, which I kind of lately take as Disney gospel, because whenever I fact check anything with Disney directly, it's like always the same answer as Plan Disney, and that stuff is cleared. So according to a fall 2023 question, so kind of post-peak pandemic question on Plan Disney, you can bring a cake to a restaurant where you have an advanced dining reservation. When it comes to dropping it off earlier in the day, they say that it's up to that dining location. So definitely look into where you are going. If it is inside a park, if it is at Magic Kingdom, that can be tricky. So just reach out to Disney, do what you can to reach out directly. Now, you can reach out directly maybe to your hotel, depending on the restaurant, depending on if it's like a more of like a fine dining place, depending on what the situation is, you might be able to talk to them directly to get a specialty rainbow cake. The only thing is, I feel like it's gonna be real expensive. So I would rather give you a solution that is more direct. Now, if it's like a cake that has a rainbow design on the top, I feel like your best bet is going to be to get it at a local bakery and have it delivered to you, maybe through a TaskRabbit, maybe through like they put it in an Uber and the Uber drives, something like that. However, there is also the option of hiring an Orlando area baker who can bake you exactly what you want. And I am going to recommend you reach out to my friend Mark, who runs Bubo Bakery. That's B-U-B-O Bakery. And BuboBakery.com is Mark's website. Mark is a former Disney cast member. Was like legendary while he worked at Disney for making like the most beautiful cakes and cookies, and like every holiday season would fill his house with cookies and everyone loved them. And now Mark bakes professionally and makes amazing things. And I had a chocolate cake that my mom got from Mark for my birthday when I was at Disney World 2 years ago. Last year. I think time is strange. If you remember me being like, my mom sent me a cake. It was this beautiful cake that Mark made. So I would reach out to Mark directly. I will let him know that there may be an inquiry coming about a rainbow cake. But that is probably your best bet, is to get something made and then bring it over. Again, remember, I don't know the specifics about the restaurant and kind of all of that, but I would tackle it through multiple ways. And I would reach out to Mark and try to get something custom made so that your child is delighted. And if your child in like a week forgets, you can always stick to your Mickey cake and it'll be totally fine. I hope that's helpful. I hope you have a wonderful birthday. You're such a good parent too. You're such a good parent for trying to make sure your child gets exactly the cake they want. I love that. I hope they realize, as someone who is a child of someone, I would have been like, thanks for getting my cake. I was a bit of a brat. I'm nice, but I'm a little brat. I got a little bratty edge. My mom will agree. So I hope that it all goes well. I hope that your child appreciates all the work you're putting into getting that rainbow cake. Also, you gotta keep that kid away from birthday parties until your birthday. Like, there's too many things to be influenced by. Too many things. Thank you for calling. Let me know how it goes. I hope the rainbow cake dreams are fulfilled and have a wonderful, wonderful time at Walt Disney World. Hi. Oh my gosh, it's me. I'm back. I'm texting with Mark right now and I had to hop back on the mic because I was like, hey, can I just clear with you that this is something you can do? I know you make rainbow cookies. I just wanted to make sure. Mark sent me the photo of the most beautiful rainbow cake. And wait for this. This cake that he made was for a fourth birthday. The photo I was sent was of an unbelievable rainbow cake with a number 4 candle sitting in it. I feel like it's fate. Reach out to Mark. It is rainbow on the outside. There's like, I'll post this on Instagram stories if he lets me when I'm sure he will, when the episode comes out. But like, oh my God, it's fated to be. Reach out to Bubo Bakery. Every layer inside is rainbow. And then the outside has this like really cool rainbow effect all the way around it. Reach out to Mark. There's little rainbows on top. Oh my God. This is it. This cake is going to do the trick. Reach out to Mark. Okay. Wow. This cake. Okay. I got to go. Reach out to Mark. Okay. Bye. That's our show. Thank you all so much for listening to this very cruise-tastic episode of Very Amusing. You can rate, review, and follow Very Amusing on Apple Podcasts and rate and follow us on Spotify. And I gotta tell you, I had to, for a work thing, pull a lot of the reviews together to send to someone to be like, I promise, people listen to the podcast. And, well, I mean, people, they know there's numbers, but also, like, the words help illustrate that, like, we got a fun little thing happening here. And I have to say, your reviews were so kind and so generous and so nice. I haven't really looked at them in a while, and I'm blown away. And I just want to thank every single person who hears this every week, who hears me being like, please review the podcast, and you have, and you're like, girl, I already did it. Thank you so much for everything you've said. It really means a lot. It really helps new people find the podcast if they're poking around and they're like, what do people think of this? You all described it so brilliantly. There was one that was like, I think that Carly and I are friends in real life, even though we don't know each other. And that's how I feel about you all too. It's just very nice to be like, yeah, we're on the same wavelength. We all get it. And isn't that nice? Oh, I just love it. And I love all of you. So thank you for the reviews you have done. And if you haven't done them yet, go ahead. What's keeping you? It just takes a few seconds. Just be like, bloop, 5 stars, whatever. Why not? Why not? And while you're at it, while you're on your phone, give us a call at 747-TRUROS. Send us a voice note or email it to 747-TRUROS@gmail.com. I have gotten a lot of text messages on the Churros hotline lately. And while that's great, I welcome them. Just know that I can't get to those as frequently as the calls, because the calls we can actually put in the podcast, the text messages we can't as much. So if you have a question, you're like, I really need an answer. If you call it in, it will be kind of ranked, not like higher priority, but I'm more likely to get to it because then that's something I can like, it's more doable. I don't know if I'm saying the right words. Are the right words coming out? I don't know. But the text messages are a little harder to keep track of because I am going to be honest with you here. In the outro of this episode, I also use the Churros hotline as my phone number whenever a company needs it. I'm just like, yeah, 747, 248-7767, is that it? I think that's it. So I have a lot of, to get those 15% off things, you know, you gotta give them your email and your phone. And so I'm using the Churros hotline as my phone number to get the 15% off of J. Crew and stuff. So if you get a text message, it is a murkier inbox. So if you are a little scared to call, maybe this will be like the oomph you need to pick up the phone. I say that as someone who is literally a professional journalist and does not like to pick up the phone. So I get it. My job is to pick up the phone and call people. And let me tell you, there's a lot I do to avoid it. So I get it. If you don't like to call, but if you have a question, you're like, oh, I really, really, really want this answered sooner than later, give me a ring-a-ding on the phone, and I will do my best to get to you. You can get Very Amusing merchandise at very-amusing.com, and you can follow me at Carly Wiesel throughout the internet. Join the family at facebook.com/group/Carly Wiesel. Couldn't get those words out of my mouth. And subscribe to my Instagram at Carly Wiesel, 99 cents a month. I know there's a weird wait list. I don't know why. Meta will not give me a straight answer on why some people are trying to subscribe and they can't. But if you're able to subscribe and you want to spend 99 cents a month and you hit the button on my profile and lets you do it, come hang. Come hang. It's like a whole other Instagram stories ecosystem there. And I welcome you into it with open arms. This episode was edited meticulously, as always, by Jeff Fox. Thanks so much for listening. See you real soon.
Okay, this has to be the first thing I say. Podcast was great, but for Valentine's Day, you asked for jelly beans? You're a special kid. Okay, shopping. First, I have to say that you have a style that is great. You will buy a good piece, you will mix it with a funky vintage piece of clothing and look amazing. You put together patterns with great sweaters and pants and shirts and dresses and you look incredible. So people are always constantly stopping you admiring your outfit when I'm with you. You need to buy classics though, classics that last a long time. Blazers that are flattering, left open with a tank or tee underneath is a great look for nighttime. Shirts. The colors that I always kind of stick with is white, cream, gray, and black, and mixed with other things. The jeans, straight legs are still in, capris, flares, but those wide, baggy jeans are not flattering on anybody, not even models. They're just not flattering. So you have good-fitting jeans. You put a cute boot. You could have put a high, like a high knee or a short boot or a great shoe, and it just makes the outfit. So the conservative colors are great, but they're classic. So you can't go wrong. They're staples. They'll be in your wardrobe forever. Easy peasy. I sold designer sportswear, women's clothing at Saks for many years. Trust me. I know what I'm talking about. And what did I always tell you? Stop getting rid of things because they always come back and then you regret it. The things I've gotten rid of, I could kick myself that I got rid of. Some of the things like dresses and small tees for Pearl, you can save those t-shirts, those smalls you were talking about. Save them. She'll wear them like from sixth grade on up. She will love them. She'll be very cool in her cute little AC/DC t-shirt. I actually tried on those shoes that you talked about from Target, the ones that I bought with you at Saks, but I saw them before that at Target with Dad, and I tried them on. He's like, what do you think of those? They're very, you know, very shiny with the rhinestones. I said they don't have a lot of support, so be careful wearing those. There's not a lot of support, even though they look like yours. It's not the same. But with the Saks ones, we should bring them back in and let them repair it or replace it. I will go with you next time. About the shows, Reacher, I absolutely love him. He was my screensaver for a very long time. He may not have had a shirt on, and I'm keeping it PG. He was adorable. He only had one outfit at a time, speaking of clothes, but he looked good in it anyway. The show that I just watched last Sunday was the second episode of White Lotus. I watched the first two seasons. I loved it so much. This one has taken an evil turn, is all I'm going to say. And there's definitely missing Jennifer Coolidge because she was the light of the show. So it's not the same. It's not really funny. It's kind of taken a twist, and I don't know if I'm into it at all. And for the first time, I almost fell asleep during it. The Carla... Oh, my gosh. What did Brittany say? Oops, I did it again. I'm really trying to go fast. I just have a lot to say. I'm so sorry, Carly. Carla Lolly music story. I make the best popcorn, okay? I fill the bottom of a pot with olive oil because it's very healthy, the ones I use, this Italian olive oil from Costco. It's really, really good. And I fill the whole bottom. Then I put the kernels in to where they almost, they're just covered by the oil. Then I put the top on. I put the heat on medium. And once I start here, then I start shaking it. And, like, before you know it, when the popping gets less and less, I stop. Every kernel is popped. Every kernel is boiling hot delicious. I put on sea salt because it already has all that oil on there. And for dads, I add melted butter. It is the best popcorn I've ever had. So take it from me. I don't know about Lolly, but I did a good job too. All right. I love you. I love you, Pearl. Great gab session. I had a lot of fun. Talk to you soon, honey. Bye.